This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Freedom for OJ. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay on this Friday, July 21st. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The state of Nevada has granted O.J. Simpson parole after he served 9 years for armed robbery.
President Trump is reshuffling his legal team as it seeks to block Robert Mueller's investigation into the Trump family's business ties.
Chester Bennington of alt-rock band Linkin Park is dead at the age of 41, apparently the result of suicide.
Millennials today are fat and they're broke.
Millennials are averaging $797 a month on groceries. That's compared to $724 for people 37 and older. There's a big difference in groceries, and it's not just that. They also spend more on dining out, $233 on dining out and takeout meals versus $182 for older people.
That's Katie Hill of Moneyish. She'll be along in about 20 minutes with that story. President Trump is reshuffling his legal team as special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation moves full steam ahead. The developments come one day after Trump suggested an aggressive pushback against his investigators, telling the New York Times that Mueller's office had widespread conflicts of interest while warning investigators any examinations of his family's finances would be improper. White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I think that the president, the point he's trying to make is that the clear purpose of the Russia investigation is to review Russia's meddling in the election, and that that should be the focus of the investigation.
But Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal says Trump's veiled threats are improper.
What we're seeing is obstruction of justice, criminal intent, unfolding almost as a textbook case right before our eyes.
Mark Kasowitz, Trump's longtime personal attorney, who has been the lead lawyer on the Russia investigation, will see his role reduced. Sources say attorney John Dowd, along with Jay Sokolow, will now be the president's primary personal attorneys for the investigation. Meanwhile, Mark Carollo has resigned from his position as spokesman and communication strategist for Trump's legal team. Nevada officials have granted parole to O.J. Simpson, agreeing to release the 70-year-old former football star from prison as early as October. Simpson has been serving 9 years for the armed robbery of sports memorabilia from a Las Vegas hotel room. Simpson came up for parole after serving the minimum time on an up to 33-year sentence stemming from his 2008 conviction on charges including kidnapping, burglary, and assault with a deadly weapon. Parole Board Commissioner Tony Korda cast the first vote for Simpson to be let out.
You are a low risk to reoffend on our guidelines. You have community support and stable release plans.
In the hearing, Simpson was both remorseful and defensive.
I am no danger to pull a gun on anybody. You know, I never have in my life. I've never been accused of it in my life. Nobody's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them.
Simpson recounted his discipline-free stay in prison and how he has become a more devout Christian who has counseled other inmates to help them stay out of trouble. In his 1995 trial, Simpson was accused of killing his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman. He was famously acquitted in that criminal trial. Chester Bennington, the lead singer of Linkin Park, was found dead yesterday of apparent suicide a week before the California alt-rock band was due to embark on a U.S. tour. The 41-year-old, known for his powerful vocals, died at his Palos Verdes home near Los Angeles. The L.A. County Coroner's Office says the death is being handled as an apparent suicide, and celebrity website TMZ, citing law enforcement sources, says Bennington had hung himself while alone at his house when his family was out of town. Bennington had a history of alcohol and drug abuse. He spoke openly in the past about his struggles to overcome his demons when Linkin Park was founding fame in 2000 with its best-selling debut album, Hybrid Theory, and went on to become one of the most popular alt-rock bands of its generation. Bennington, who was twice married and had six children, was a close friend of Soundgarden frontman Chris Cornell, who committed suicide in May. Linkin Park's latest album, One More Light, was released in May. The band had been touring South America and Europe until 2 weeks ago. It's 11 minutes after the hour.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. A reminder, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. Is there support for the Mexican border wall in Congress? We're about to find out. Ryan McCrimmon of CQ Roll Call is here with that story. Ryan, what's the strategy of the House Republicans with this wall?
Well, they're going to bring up a spending bill next week, which is it includes funding for the military, for energy programs, and all sorts of things. But included in that package is some funding for the wall, about $1.6 billion that President Donald Trump had requested for the wall. So we'll see when it goes to the floor if that is an issue for some Republicans who may support the package overall. But there are a few Republicans, you know, some representing border districts, who have said that they're not very supportive of the wall. They don't think it's an effective way to secure the border. So we'll see if they actually oppose this overall package because of that wall funding. And, of course, we expect most Democrats to oppose the legislation because they don't support the wall.
Ryan, have the Republicans tried to fold this money into any bills up until this point?
This will be the first time that a bill comes to the House floor with that funding in it. The House Appropriations Committee, which writes the spending bills, they approved a spending bill for the Department of Homeland Security, which included the $1.6 billion for the wall. So that has been approved by a committee. This will be the first floor vote. So this will be a broad test of support on the House floor.
Ryan, you mentioned some Republicans that are against funding the Mexican border wall. Who are they in general?
Well, one who comes to mind is Will Hurd. He represents a border district in West Texas. It's the majority of the southern border in Texas is in his district. And he, back in January, put out a statement saying that he opposes the wall. He thinks it'll come with all sorts of problems in terms of property rights, the environment. And he said it's just not an effective or efficient way to secure the border. So he's a good example of the sort of Republican who may not be on board with this plan.
We're speaking with Ryan McCrimmon of CQ Roll Call about funding for the border wall. What happens after this?
What happens after this is hard to predict. For now, I mean, the entire spending picture is sort of unclear at this point, but whether this package of spending bills, including the wall money, passes next week, it's probably not going to be signed into law. It would likely be dead on arrival in the Senate anyway. So the key to watch is when the Senate and the House and the administration engage in spending negotiations later this year. That'll probably start to occur in September and continue possibly as late as December. And that's when they'll really have to decide which side is going to give, whether the White House insists on having this wall funding or whether Democrats are able to hold it off once again. So that's sort of the key to watch.
Ryan, have you seen any shift in Washington with this issue? Anybody who used to be opposed to it now supporting it and vice versa?
I have not seen that. You know, it's been talked about for years, and it obviously gained so much attention. It was, possibly Trump's most famous issue during the campaign, or certainly one of them. So there's a lot of attention on it now, though it's not necessarily a new idea. I haven't really seen any indication of anyone changing their minds on this issue. I think those who oppose it are going to continue to do so. They don't see it as an effective solution, and it's, you know, they think it's going to be costly and a waste of money. And those who are in favor of it, I think, will continue to do so very vocally, including President Trump.
In very general terms, then, if nobody really changes their stance, does it not seem that there's more opposition to it in Washington than supporters?
At this point, because there are enough Senate Democrats to block any legislation in the Senate that they consider very, that they really oppose, I think that it's probably a long shot for the wall money to get through in the end, because Democrats have shown that they will hold it up in these spending negotiations, which are the ultimate way that the government is funded. So I think it's a long shot, but the White House has said that they're much more insistent this time, and they really want to get some of these policy and spending victories in this next round of appropriations. So we'll see. It's hard to predict right now, but I think it's probably a tough road ahead for the White House on this issue.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan McCrimmon of CQ Roll Call. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of today's top stories.
Well, Jen, two travel agencies say the U.S. is going to prohibit Americans from traveling to North Korea. Koryo Tours and Young Pioneer Tours tell the BBC the ban will be announced in a week to come into effect 30 days later. No confirmation from U.S. officials yet. O.J. Simpson could be a free man as early as October. Nevada State Parole members unanimously voted to release him after he served more than 8 years in a Nevada prison for an ill-fated bid to retrieve sports memorabilia. Simpson plans to return to Florida, where he was living before his incarceration. At least 1,500 homes and other buildings are under threat from a massive five-day-old wildfire that scorched more than 100 square miles across the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. California Fire spokesman Scott McClain says conditions are punishing firefighters.
The weather is in triple digit. It's in the low 100s, maybe just in the high 90s last couple of days. Unfortunately, that weather pattern, the heat is going to increase throughout the weekend into roughly 105, 108 degree weather.
A powerful earthquake killed at least two people and injured dozens when it struck near major Turkish and Greek tourist spots in the Aegean Sea early today. Local officials say 100 people were injured on the Greek island of Kos, a destination favored by British vacationers. Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harto is pledging to strengthen the department's body camera policy in the wake of last week's fatal shooting of Justine Damond after she called 911.
I spoke to Justine's fiancé this morning, and I told him I was sorry for his loss and that this did not have to happen. And again, Justine did not have to die.
Justine Damond's family's attorney is calling for a comprehensive investigation and policy review. Facing lawsuits in major cities for its lack of accessible transportation services, Uber is expanding Uber Wave to Chicago. WAVE stands for Wheelchair Accessible Vehicle. It's hailed through the app like any other Uber service and costs the same. Surrealist artist Salvador Dali's body has been exhumed from its grave in his Spanish hometown to test if he's the father of a 61-year-old tarot card reader. Pilar Abel says her mother had a relationship with Dali. If DNA proves she's his only child, she could be entitled to at least 25% of his estate. It was worth $136 million when he passed away in 1989.
And I read this has been going on for years. She's been trying to get this money. So maybe she does have access to it. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Thanks, Rasa. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Friday, July 21st. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Get away and save up to 30%. At participating Lexington and Red Lion hotels when you book by September 4th. Book your hotel stay and save today. Where are young people spending their money? Apparently on food. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish, has more on the spending habits of millennials. Katie, what is this generation spending on food?
Millennials are averaging $797 a month on groceries. That's compared to $724 for people 37 and older. So there's a big difference in groceries, and it's not just that. They also spend more on dining out, $233 on dining out and takeout meals versus $182 for older people. So you can see millennials are really putting their money where the food is, and, you know, I wrote in the story, put down the $12 avocado toast kind of as a joke. But really, I mean, in truth, millennials do spend more on food than other generations.
You mentioned more money they're spending on groceries. Are they buying different types of groceries?
Millennials tend to say that they care about health-conscious things, so they might be spending a little more because they're opting for organic, say, more than other generations. This survey itself, which, by the way, is from Bankrate, doesn't go into exactly why their spending is more, but if you look at other research, you'll see they do care about what's called, you know, health foods, organics, that kind of stuff more, and that could account for more spending.
You talked about takeout or eating out. Are they taking out and eating out more than other people, or are they spending more than other people, or both?
They do it more. So millennials dine out at a restaurant, or they get takeout almost 5 times a week on average. That's compared to about 3.4 times a week for Gen Xers and 2.5 for boomers. Now, that includes lunch, too. So a lot of millennials working, they'll go out and grab lunch. Still, 5 times a week versus 3 or 2 for the older generations. I mean, you can see why their spending is higher there.
Is that because they're busier or they like the social aspect of it? Any insight there?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily because they're busier. You know, fewer Gen Xers, you know, they're often the ones with a lot of kids, although millennials really starting to have kids now, too. But, yeah, it's not maybe necessarily because they're busier. I think there's just a very much of a social aspect. Millennials are very into it. You know, they're often not tied to their homes as much. They go out to meet friends at restaurants. So there's probably a little bit of that, too. But, yeah, I mean, look, they spend a lot more for whatever reasons, and that is really taking a bite out of their budget.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish. What about, I want to say, wasted money on alcohol? It's pretty much a waste of money, right?
Yeah, they're also, I mean, that's interesting you say that. They're a little more likely to go to bars than older people, too, so they end up spending more there. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of this socializing and eating out, socializing and drinking out, and that really, I mean, it's both bad for your budget and bad for your waistline often. You know, people who go out to restaurants, this is a 2015 study, found they eat about 200 more calories than when they eat at home. So all this dining out, not only bad for your budget, but also could be a reason that you're putting on a few extra pounds.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you don't have a big marketing budget, you have to wait until the opportunity is just right. Well, consider this your opportunity alarm going off. Vistaprint semi-annual sale has arrived with up to 50% off site-wide, including custom t-shirts, postcards, and even our new A-frame signs. And if you've been waiting for our newest business card options like square cards, now's the time to get huge savings on them too. Make the most of this opportunity. Go to Vistaprint.com by July 25th and enter the promo code SAVEBIG.
Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
On this Friday, July 21st, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. O.J. Simpson will walk out of prison in October after serving 9 years for armed robbery. Linkin Park lead singer Chester Bennington has died at the age of 41. The L.A. coroner says he had hanged himself. Microsoft's profit jumps as it pushes ahead in cloud computing. A surprise resignation in the world of college football as Hugh Freeze steps down at Ole Miss amidst a probe of his alleged phone call to an escort service. And he tripped and fell and discovered something a million years old. That story in about 20 minutes. For the first time in years, pay for the lowest income workers is rising faster than for other groups. Here with that story, Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal. Eric, who are the workers we're talking about?
So we're talking about workers that are in the bottom 10%. We often talk a lot about the top 1%, right? Think of all the way on the other end of the pay scale. We're talking about restaurant workers. We're talking about people that maybe work in casinos. We're talking about cashiers, folks that, you know, make about $10.75 an hour. Well, they're, you know, finally seeing raises, for the first time in several years that are larger than the raises received by those elsewhere in the economy.
Eric, why were they lagging behind as the financial crisis started to fade away?
Well, they're lagging behind because, well, the unemployment rate overall, you know, slowly ticked down. The unemployment rate for many of these low-wage workers, if you use those with less than a high school education as a proxy, remained well elevated, well into the double digits, even after the recession ended. We're starting to see that tick down. It was 6.4% last month. You know, obviously that's still higher than the 4.5% overall rate, but, you know, it's well down from a year ago even. So I think as the labor market tightens up and it's harder to find someone to work at a restaurant, restaurants and other businesses they compete with are starting to pay a little bit more money.
And as the overall population gets more money, how does that trickle down to the lower income workers?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of the benefit as well here, right? So we've been in a long period of economic expansion. We have very low unemployment, and I think people are starting to feel a little bit more confident. We've seen that in some of the surveys. And so, you know, they're going on vacation. They're going out to restaurants. They're you know, visiting stores. So as they do that, you know, that requires those firms to hire more workers. So it does have a bit of a trickle down effect for sure.
We're speaking with Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal. Eric, how do the increases that the lower income workers are getting now compare to the upper echelon?
Well, the upper echelon, the top 10%, you know, are getting nearly the same level of raises over the past year, just a smidge below, around 3.1%. They've actually had their level of raises, though, cool a bit recently. You know, I think that speaks to, you know, if you're thinking about people in the top 90%, and that's probably people with, like, advanced degrees, you know, their unemployment rate, you know, hasn't changed much. It's been low, and it's been very low for a long time. Those workers had been in demand. So I feel like it's more of just, like, the labor market maybe leveling off a little bit for, you know, if you want to think about one example in the story, PhD-type scientists. You know, the demand there is pretty set, and maybe they're not seeing quite as robust raises as they did a few years ago.
What's the upscale potential of this? Do you think the increase will continue for the lower income workers as unemployment continues to shrink?
Well, if unemployment does shrink further, yes, I think that has the potential for a sustained wage increase at the lower levels. But that's a question. Will unemployment continue to shrink? We actually saw it tick up last month. There's also the possibility that folks who've been outside the workforce since the recession may start coming back in, and that could kind of help hold wages in check if workers or people who previously, you know, either were retired or chose to stay home or were in school, enter the workforce in more meaningful numbers, then that would put downward pressure on wages.
Eric, has the increase in minimum wage in a couple of states affected the numbers?
Yes, it certainly appears to be having an influence because it's actually more than a couple of states. 21 states so far this year have raised their minimum wage. So that's very pronounced, especially at this lower level. Someone who, you know, received a 40 or 50 cent increase in their pay because the minimum wage went up, well, at the low level, that's, you know, can be a 4% increase. So that's definitely part of this trend. And that, you know, actually looks like it will continue.
Thanks, Eric. That's Eric Marath of the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kishinka, along with Rasa Kay, in for Gordon Deal this morning. Beyond the headlines, this morning's Mike Gavin, our birthday boy, happy birthday, is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're planning on traveling to Italy this summer, leave the selfie stick at home. The city of Milan has instituted a ban on selfie sticks in glass containers to prevent litter and antisocial behavior during the summer months. The ban also includes fireworks and firecrackers and will continue to be in effect, quote, as needed. Several other Italian cities have sought to crack down on littering and similar behavior, including Rome, which banned late-night alcohol sales and instituted a fine for people climbing on and bathing in fountains. And the mayor of Florence is looking to combat littering by hosing down the steps of the city's churches around lunchtime, saying matter-of-factly, if the tourists want to sit there, they'll get wet.
Okay, I get the selfie stick. A lot of places have done that.
Yeah.
And the late-night drinking and everything, who's carrying around fireworks when they're tourists?
I don't know. I mean, you were just came back from an overseas trip. Was everybody well-behaved? Were all the Americans well-behaved?
You know, I was in Iceland, and there were very fewer Americans there than I expected. Mostly European tourists were there.
That's a hot spot. I mean, you know, it's cold, but it's...
that's exactly right.
But it's a hot spot. And I know they've been talking about Iceland, just like Italy, is kind of becoming overrun with tourists now. So they have to sort of figure out what to do now to kind of combat
everything
this kind of stuff.
Everything in Iceland was absolutely book solid. Dinner, hotels. Yeah. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Very nice. And we've all had this happen to us at least once after a concert or a sporting event, losing our car in the parking lot. Unfortunately, we had to mindlessly wander the lot ourselves without the help of our mom or throngs of people on the internet. That's what happened recently when the parents of a New York teenager sought the internet's help to find their son's car when he forgot where he parked it after a concert in Canada. 19-year-old Gavin Strickland couldn't remember where he parked his Nissan Versa after attending a Metallica concert in Toronto on Sunday. So his parents turned to Craigslist, writing, quote, "Our doofy son parked the car in an indoor parking garage in the first floor, but that garage cannot now be located. Please respond with photos of the car and specific location instructions to claim the reward." Now, this all came after police had driven Gavin around for 3 hours trying to find the car to no avail, so he actually went home to an angry mom and dad. After the Craigslist post, a woman was able to track down the missing Nissan early yesterday morning and reported back to the Stricklands. For the effort, the family plans to send the car's finder a $100 reward.
All right. Again, if you park your car in Disney and you don't take note of Goofy as you're parking lot,
right?
I can kind of get that, but they lost the entire garage.
Lost the entire garage, and this was I guess over the course of 4 days, because this happened on Sunday, and then he went home because he couldn't find it. His parents was not going to, you know, let him not get his car back, and then only yesterday morning did they finally find the car.
I think Doofy is a perfect, the perfect adjective here.
They know their son well.
Oh my goodness! Thanks, Mike. It's 14 minutes before the hour on this morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. If you're concerned about staving off dementia, you might want to keep educating yourself, controlling your blood pressure and diabetes, and exercising. A report in the British journal Lancet raises the prospect that a third of dementia cases around the world could be delayed or even prevented by avoiding key risks starting in childhood that can make the brain more vulnerable to memory loss in old age. A recent U.S. report was much more cautious, saying there are encouraging clues that a few lifestyle changes can bolster brain health and that more research is critical. Still, it's never too early to try. Alzheimer's specialists say there's little downside to following some common sense recommendations. Those include a good childhood education, avoid high blood pressure, obesity and smoking, manage diabetes, depression, and age-related hearing loss, be physically active, and stay socially engaged in old age. This portion of the show brought to you by Harry's. Traveling this summer? Be sure to pack your Harry's shaver and enjoy the mornings on vacation. As you've heard Gordon talk about, he always brings his razor along and uses his Harry's travel case. More and more people are switching over. Currently, over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. And here's some great news. Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer. All you cover is just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/deal. That's harrys.com/deal. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of today's top stories.
Well, Jan O.J. Simpson successfully made his case to the Nevada Board of Parole, Commissioner Susan Jackson.
And I concur with Commissioner Korda and grant parole. And in addition, our decision, although difficult, is fair and just.
Simpson had been serving a 9-to-33-year sentence after his conviction in a 2007 kidnapping and armed robbery in a Las Vegas hotel. He is 9 years into that sentence. A magnitude 6.7 earthquake hit the Aegean Sea near the Turkish coast early today, killing two people on the Greek island of Kos. The BBC spoke to a British tourist staying at a hotel there.
It was for about 30 seconds. You kind of felt the whole room shake. A few bottles fell off from the nightstand, and you couldn't really hear. And then suddenly you heard other people kind of, there was a bit of commotion. Some children were waking and crying.
The tremor hit around 1:30 a.m. local time with dozens of aftershocks since. Multiple law enforcement agencies from surrounding communities spent a sweltering Thursday searching the sprawling Pennsylvania farm where the bodies of four missing young men were found buried deep underground last week. They want to make sure they didn't miss any evidence before they return the property to the DiNardo family, whose oldest son, Cosmo, is charged in the murders. The Treasury Department Department's fining ExxonMobil to the tune of $2 million for violating sanctions related to Ukraine in May 2014. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was CEO when deals were executed on oil and gas projects in Russia with blacklisted Russian Rosneft oil executive Igor Sechin. Tensions are escalating over the Jerusalem holy site referred to by Muslims as the Noble Sanctuary and by Jews as the Temple Mount. Muslim clerics have called for mass protests at the site today as Israel detains 10 prominent Palestinian activists. Israeli officials installed metal detectors after Arab gunmen launched a deadly attack near the site last week. Tesla CEO Elon Musk tweeted early yesterday his company got verbal government approval to build an underground Hyperloop, a super speed rail line that could potentially travel hundreds of miles per hour. His tweet says New York to D.C. in 29 minutes. Imagine. Except that New York City mayor's office, spokespeople from D.C. and Pennsylvania departments of transportation all say they're not aware of any ongoing projects involving Musk.
All right. Well, Musk is now in self-driving cars. He's in space and now a Hyperloop underground. What's next?
Just the next thing to disrupt.
That would be nice to get there quickly, though, if this actually happens, whether people know about it or not.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rosic. Researchers now have a rare fossil from the Pleistocene era thanks to a 10-year-old's clumsiness. Jude Sparks said he literally fell on the 1.2-million-year-old skull of a stegomastodon, a massive prehistoric creature with tusks like an elephant, while on a hike with his parents on the desert outskirts of his neighborhood in La Cruces, New Mexico. Sparks told researchers at New Mexico State University that he was running and tripped on part of the tusk. He said his face landed next to the bottom jaw, and when he looked up, there was another tusk. Sparks' parents contacted a professor at the university after hearing he had discovered a similar fossil in a quarry south of campus. The fossil was found on private land, and it took several months to get permission to excavate from the property owner. The team applied chemical hardeners to the fossil, mimicking the bone strength provided by protein to keep it intact. Once dug from the ground, the fossil was coated in plaster and supported by wood braces for transport to New Mexico State University. The process to reconstruct the skull, jaw, and tusks is likely to take years to complete. The stegomastodon inhabited the ancient Rio Grande Valley and is believed to be an ancestor to modern-day elephants. And that'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.